Hey, Chris Manning from Locked On Cavs here. Coming up on today's show, Evan and I are going to draft our all-time Cavs teams both with and without LeBron James. So we're going to build our team. There's a tweet from Fox Sports Ohio that we're using to set the numbers, so don't add us. We didn't do that, but we'll be doing that today on this episode of Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And please go check out Postmates. Again, use that promo code Locked On NBA. You're going to get $100 in free deliveries, free delivery fees. So you don't have to pay your fee. $100 worth of delivery fees covered when you use that promo code LOCKEDONNBA. And frankly, there's no better time to try a Postmates if you haven't already with that promo code LOCKEDONNBA. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
My, my, my. This called the Kevin Love Show.
Kyrie Irving. He's got Xbox at him tonight. At the cue.
On the blow block. He put him in cement boots. Colin Sexton for two.
Evan, what's going on, buddy? How is we're in day two of our Cleveland Cavaliers podcasting experience. Bunch of cool stuff planned, but today we're gonna draft Cavs teams with LeBron, without LeBron. But how are you doing today?
I'm not too bad. Right before we started recording, I said sitting in isolation and having so little human contact for so long now is it's a little taxing on the brain. Dabbling in some shows and stuff, and that I wanted to check out, catching up on movies and everything in my downtime. It's just, yeah, I'm ready for this bites. And that whole post we did at Fear the Sword about what we miss, like, just really made me nostalgic and reflective. And maybe the dark and gloomy and rainy day today just doesn't help set the mood either. How about you, man?
Yeah, it's going good. Been taking a walk. I would just recommend people, if you're physically able, go take a walk. Just get outside a little bit if you can. It's really quite good. I've really frankly quite enjoyed my wife and I have just done walks every day, and I'm gonna remind myself I need to go running again, because apparently I will run a half marathon when this is all over. I signed up for one. So we'll see what the case is. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this ultimately, when this runs out. And Adam Silver talked on Wednesday night, kind of scanned it, haven't quite totally paid attention. So perhaps we will check that out. We'll talk about what he had to say on tomorrow's show or something like that. But again, as I mentioned at the top of the show, is that we're going to draft our all-time Cavs team. So basically, there's a Fox Sports Ohio or Fox Sports Cleveland tweet that I put in the show notes from November that basically gives you $15 to build your own all-time Cavs team. Obviously, there are a lot of instances. This is not like a thing they came up with. This is obviously something very popular on the internet, and now I sound like an old person explaining this, but that's okay. That's my brand. But we're going to do two versions of this. We're going to do one where it's with LeBron James. So you got to pick one where LeBron – you're going to pick LeBron – and then you got to build a team. And then we're going to do one where you have to build it without LeBron. So you can pick, you can still spend your $15, but you can't build a team with LeBron. You have to build the best Cavs team possible without LeBron James. So I think that'll be the one where maybe we differentiate the most and stuff like that. But Evan, before we get into the players, and also note that like there's only four guys in the $1 category here. I think we've decided that anyone not on that graphic, you can actually draft for a dollar and like put them on your team. So that there's some notable guys not on there. Well, I'm sure that one of us, if not both of us, will do that. But before we dive all the way into this, I want to ask you this. I was thinking about this today, about who I would pick to like run my organization, you know, if I was going to do this, if I wanted to pick a coach from Cavs history and an executive from Cavs history. And I think for both teams, I would have the same one. I think it's pretty obvious.
Is it Griff and is it Lou, or am I?
Yeah, no, 100%. Okay. Yeah. I'm just going to bet on Ty putting guys in the right spot. And I'm going to bet on Griff to just kind of, you know, build the rest of the roster out. You know, the subs just a starting five that you're getting with the $15. And then he builds out the rest of the roster with however he's going to do that. And then you also have him just kind of trying to set the culture and everything like that. So I think for me, it's like I went through the different coaches. Like I would want like Mike Brown on the bench as like an assistant. You know, I would want other the coaches that are
pilot.
Yeah. I would want certain other guys in there. You know, I'd want different voices, obviously, if you had to kind of build the coaching staff. But I think Ty is the guy that I'm riding with for both of my teams here. If your goal is to win as many games as possible, and I think when you do this, that's the only way to kind of approach it. Those are my guys.
Yeah, I'm kind of going through the list of coaches in Cavs history. I mean, George Karl is an asshole by all accounts, but I mean, he would make it fun offensively.
Well, like one year, if this is like a 1 year thing, it's like you could argue, definitely, I think, argue that Karl can make it work for a year and then you just worry about the rest later.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Chuck Daly as well, just because he won 2 championships with Detroit and he only got to coach 15 games with the Cavs.
Oh, that's a good call. It's a very good call.
Actually, no, I was looking at the wrong guy here. Chuck Daly coached 41 games with the Cavs. Might be. But
not a lot, I mean, though.
Lenny Wilkins also. Wow, there's a lot of, you know, Bill Fitch, Lenny Wilkins, Chuck Daly. You can make a case for all of those guys. But no, we aren't Greg Swartz. We weren't alive when those guys were coaching. So
we're not 90 years old.
We know best. Yeah, so no, I'd agree. Ty Lue and Griff, just at least if you're pulling some of these players out towards like the modern NBA as well, at least they'd have a better pulse and idea of what to do in these situations. So
yes.
Yeah, no, this should be fun. Should be a little weird. I've been like while you're talking, just writing down lineups and stuff, but yeah, it should be an interesting time. I think my LeBron one's gonna be pretty ugly, but looking forward to talking about it.
All right. Well, let's do that first. Let's go into building with LeBron first. Why don't you tell me your 5-man roster of who you're picking and why for this team?
Okay, so my $5 player is obviously LeBron, and that puts me down to 10. My $2 player is Ron Harper. My $1 player is Andre Miller. My $4 player is Kevin Love. And I have actually saved a dollar because Tristan Thompson is another $2 player. So I'm balling onto budget, as some people would say. But it's terrible spacing, but really good play. Because in the graphic, you have young prime LeBron, who wasn't really known for those quote-unquote la-fuck-you threes yet. So, but still was an offensive freak and, you know, move the ball well. And you have Andre Miller, Ron Harper, and LeBron. Like, that's a lot of fun playmaking right there. And then defensively, the tandem of Harper and LeBron, at least young LeBron on the perimeter, is pretty fun. And then Tristan, I mean, down low is just a dog. And I think you and I are both always going to be pro Tristan Thompson on this podcast. So I think that'd be a lot of fun. It'd be good defense, good playmaking, but, you know, terrible spacing overall, other than Kevin Love just kind of floating around on the perimeter, because he would definitely be one of the, maybe the 4th or 5th option in this rotation, depending on what kind of Andre Miller you're getting.
Yeah, Andre is like a really interesting, I would like love to see what like a prime Andre Miller would have looked like with LeBron, because I'm going to look this up as we're doing this, because I could not tell you.
Last year in Cleveland, he averaged 16.5 points and 10.9 assists. That's incredible.
Yeah, like an incredible passer. 3-point shooting wise, never like really a shooter. That's probably like my one concern there. He's a dollar, so like how do you like kind of like you're gonna get worked on a guy if he only cost you a dollar.
No, like him and Ron Harper both like very bad 3-point shooters. Like at the Andre Miller's best in his time in Cleveland, he shot 26.6% from 3. Ron Harper at his peak shot 25% from 3. So yeah, no. In the modern NBA, I wouldn't get respected on the perimeter of those two. So
yeah, I think you're 100%. Like that's like a really good roster. Was there any like obvious cuts for you? Was there anyone that you're just like, wow, I can't believe that I left that guy off for whatever reason?
You see, I was looking at the $3 players, and you have like Nate Thurmond, who obviously is a good option as well. I mean, Austin Carr, you could slide him up to the 3 and put LeBron at the 4 and then maybe bump Kevin Love out and you pick up somebody else. But then at the $4 range, you have Larry Nance Sr., who's a power forward. You have Kevin Love, who's a power forward and center. You have Z, who's a center. And Bingo Smith, who I want to say is a forward, but I'm not 100% prepared on this. And you are the Cavs Jeopardy champion here between the two of us, Chris, so you probably know best. But I'm pretty comfortable with this rotation, but if I was like you said, if we could just pick whatever player that isn't listed in the $1 pile, like I could grab Booby Gibson and plug him in instead of Andre Miller. I could grab Mo Williams and plug him in instead of Andre Miller, just had a little bit more spacing and maybe sacrifice the defensive ability at least. But I mean, the playmaking would take a dip as well, but maybe it wouldn't be as ugly and clunky, at least in terms of perimeter play. That's the only thing I could really think of, just in my haphazard assembly of this.
Yeah, I think when you look at it, I think the wild card of like finding like a booby or someone like that is like a really interesting bit, because it's just like it's hard to like not kind of and it's hard not to just like go for that, you know. It's hard not to just like try to like really bank on that and hope that it works. I really like that team. I think, again, just give everyone a quick recap of what your team is here, and then we'll take a quick break.
It's Andre Miller, Ron Harper, LeBron James, Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson. So terrible spacing, good deep. This is also young prime LeBron, like first stint in Cleveland LeBron. So
yeah,
a little bit of everything. But it'd be fun.
Yeah, I think when all of these, except for like Wade, I think you can kind of and like guys like Richard Jefferson and stuff. I think it'd be like unfair to like claim them for like those things, but it's like I think otherwise you're getting like the best version of those guys, because obviously if it's like you're getting Wade, you're just like, okay, I'm gonna take Dwayne Wade and LeBron, and like I'm gonna build my own version of the Heatles like beat the system, because Dwayne Wade cost a dollar in this setup. But like obviously I don't think it's fair of us to pick Dwayne Wade, you know, or like on the other end, if like you want to pick like Joe Harris, would theoretically would be a dollar. But like no one in their right mind is going to be like, I'm taking Joe Harris. And Joe Harris was bad when he was with the Cavs, and he did not blossom until he got to Brooklyn. Joe Harris,
until he got healthy when he was in Brooklyn. And
then
he was worth the time. So
All right. It's interesting. Okay, we're gonna take a quick break, come back and talk about more on this episode of Locked On Cavs, where I'll pick my team with LeBron, and it is different than Evan's, and we'll get into that here coming up next. From an early morning breakfast burrito to a 12-pack of beers while you watch the game, sometimes you just need what you need delivered fast, and that's where Postmates comes in. If you're like me, you probably started thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch. I love food, and that's why I love using Postmates. They deliver food from every restaurant I can think of right to my door. They don't just deliver burgers and sushi. They make my life easier with grocery delivery and whatever I can think delivery to. Convenience stores, clothing stores, you name it. So no more trip to the store, no more late night fast food runs. I don't have to worry about where to grab lunch anymore. Just download Postmates on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use promo code LOCKEDONNBA. That's code LOCKEDONNBA for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Use that code LOCKEDONNBA. And special thanks to Postmates for sponsoring the Locked On Podcast NBA Network across the whole network. They're a great, great sponsor. Please use that promo code LOCKEDONNBA. All right, we are back here on Locked On Cavs. Evan, here's my team. Obviously, LeBron James. I'm going to go with him. No-brainer, and we're obviously building with the LeBron construction. I'm going to go with Kyrie. I'm going to lean into the LeBron-Kyrie pairing. Obviously, that was the engine of that title team, the engine of the 17 Cavs, which is a team that I hope that we talk about during this kind of unknown period we're in right now, because I think that team is underrated at this point. I think that was an incredible offensive team, and doesn't get talked about enough because of the Warriors and everything. I'm taking Tristan Thompson for $2. So I'm going to go three modern guys. I'm going to go Ron Harper next. I'm going to slot him in there as another $2 guy. And I'm going to go off the board for my $1 spot. Now, here's where I had, I would say, the hardest thing. I think my team here is really relying on LeBron playing both ends of the floor. Ron Harper obviously going to cover some defensive limitations and be like a really good defender. I think you're looking at this position like I'm going to play LeBron at the 4-3-4 kind of thing here and play a little smaller with TT at the 5. So I think in this last spot, you're kind of looking to try to find the right guy that can kind of shoot a little bit, that can play some defense or maybe provide some size. There's a couple names I consider just based purely on fit. I truly thought about Richard Jefferson just because I'm like, okay, what if I just throw him in there and let him just kind of play the version of he did in the 16 finals. That's probably stretching him a little bit too far. I thought about Delonte West, who I think could really work in this, but I wonder, I think Delonte obviously had his peaks, but I wonder if he you know, I kind of wonder if that's exactly what I'm looking for. I thought about Kyle Korver, just to give me just the pure shooting aspect of this, and I think I could hide him defensively enough where if he's the fifth defender, I think I certainly could hide him, and at least I'm just going to have that automatic three-point arc. And I thought about JR, because I think JR, the best version of JR Smith that we've ever seen was with the Cavs. I mean, it's sort of incredible, Evan, that he's fifth all-time in three-pointers on the Cavs.
Yeah, that really is weird, and some of those numbers, like when we were going over it with Greg, like I saw some of them, like, huh, I thought they'd be higher than they would be, but no, JR, I'm getting a little nostalgic right now, because I remember how mad I was when he was traded here originally, but yeah, no, that is kind of incredible, but maybe more credit to the fact that, especially during those playoff runs, JR was absolutely unconscious from the perimeter, and he became such a reliable three-point shooter for the Cavs.
Yes, but I'm going to go Delonte West. I think I think what I get with Delonte here is if I'm getting the Delonte that's playing with at the peak of what he was with the Cavs, he is going to create. He's going to be a really good 3-point shooter. He's going to provide defense. He's going to be able to cover for Kyrie, where like I can put Kyrie on the weaker of the two guards and kind of hide him a little bit easier and save his energy for the offensive end of the floor. Kyrie then is the only weak link defender. And even like, I think Kyrie, when he was trying in the 16 finals, certainly was, I think, better than he's been at other points in his career. I think that's just kind of an obvious. So I'm going to roll out there with LeBron, Harper, Kyrie, Tristan, and Delonte. I'm going to switch a lot. I'm going to be able to play fast. I'm going to be able to drag this. If I really need to, I can drag this out and run like Kyrie, LeBron pick and rolls. I can run pick and rolls with Tristan. Spacing's probably not like could be a little bit tight, but I'm also, I have LeBron, I have Kyrie and Delonte to shoot. I think, you know, I'm going to look at Ron Harper's career 3-point numbers. Couldn't tell you off the top of my head what kind of shooter he was, but like, I don't think, and if it's LeBron, I'm getting a LeBron that can't hit those step back threes. Like I can live with this. And you know, Tristan, obviously a marksman as we know, but you know, Ron, the concern with Harper is that obviously, okay, so under 30% for his career, that's suboptimal, never got higher than like 32%. But if you're looking at the defense, you're looking at the other stuff he provides, and then having Delonte, Kyrie, LeBron, I can make that work. And it provides me, I think it's the most flexible lineup that I come up with. Like I seriously thought about Korver just because thinking about the spacing aspect of it. But I just think if you're playing now, he's going to get hunted down in ways that he might not have a couple years ago or something.
Oh yeah, I'd agree with that. And I think that's a pretty solid roster construction, I guess. Let's just kind of go down the numbers. Obviously, LeBron is cuffed to both of us at this point, and so like that's $5 at the window there. But how tough of a decision was it for you to pick between Kyrie and Mark Price? Because I feel like Mark Price would work really well in this team as well if you subbed him out for Kyrie, and just in terms of playmaking, spacing, and just everything else.
Yeah, I think it's tough because I think Mark Price would be like, he's a guy that I think if you look at his profile would be a better player now than he was when he played.
Yes.
Just imagining like him in a more open NBA, the ability to shoot more three pointers, I think he would have hit a different level in his career. And ultimately just went with Kyrie because like I've seen what that looks like. I just like have tangible proof of it and like what that duo could do. But I don't think it'd be unfair at all or unreasonable at all to pick Price and put him in there as well and go Price, Harper, Delonte, Tristan, and LeBron. I think that in its own self is a defensible one. It was also hard for me not to just like go Kevin and LeBron and then figure that out, but because Kevin, I think, spacing, rebounding, all that stuff. But I wanted to see if I could go smaller and what that would lead me to. And if I can have LeBron at the four and he's turbocharged and bullies guys in the paint and Harper and Tristan are cutting and you have the spacing, I just really like how that. And I just think it's a team that if I have Ty Lue coaching and knowing how to organize that stuff and kind of pull on the right string at the right time, I quite like it.
Yeah, no, I think you have been making a lot of valid points there. And I guess just my other question is, do you think Delonte West reportedly disturbed the locker room chemistry at the end of the first LeBron stint? Do you think he pulls the shenanigans again, or are we assuming everybody's do you think Ty Lue actually instead is able to keep everybody straight and not let that team completely fall apart and then break my heart against Boston? A young Evan's heart against Boston.
I trust in Ty.
Yeah, I don't think Mr. Potato Head could have managed this roster then, and it could not have managed it now. So I think you having faith in Ty Lue is definitely going to help make this work. And I think that'd be a You know, like you said, it's small. You'd be doing a lot of switching. I mean, technically, you can slide Ron Harper up to the three and play Delonte at the two, Kyrie at the one. I mean, there's a lot of mix and matching pieces you could do, and like good, solid enough wing perimeter defense and the spacing that's provided with the players that you mentioned. Like, it will allow, especially because we're considering this as a young LeBron here, really allow him to operate and thrive in this scenario. And I think Tristan is a solid enough player that if you really look at the list and think about it, Andre Drummond is like really the first career center, like true center the Cavs have had. And like you have guys like Varejão and Thompson who are like, I mean, Varejão was a 4 or 5, but Thompson's an undersized center. And then like you have to go back to Z to really think about that in that scenario. So, no, I think you kind of just have a fun roster that is undersized. But if we're dropping this in today's NBA, small ball is the way in the future. Look, the Houston Rockets, they're playing PJ Tucker at their center spot. Well, they were playing PJ Tucker at the center position. So, I think this team would have a lot of fun.
Yeah. Here's my case, though, for the LeBron that I want. If I get to pick what LeBron I want, like, post-heat LeBron that knows how to post up. Because I want to, like, have that. I want as much as, like, the prime, like, really young LeBron is amazing. I really, really want the LeBron that I can, like, throw in the post in a game 7 against someone like Bogdanovich. Mm-hmm. Or, like, how the Cavs played a lot of teams that won playoffs. If I really need to grind the game out like that, I want LeBron in the post doing that. Like, I extremely want him doing that and having that in his arsenal more so than, like, there again, early career LeBron, incredible. The athleticism is just unmatched. I would go watch YouTube videos that we've seen of him, you know, of those games. Like, I have one up now, and it's, like, on my screen watching Delonte West highlights, and I'm just like, oh, my God, this guy's unreal. The lobs are just incredible. But, like, I really, really want LeBron who can get in the post and just beat the crap out of guys inside when I need him to.
I mean, if we could be really selfish, I would just want Miami Heat LeBron in general because he was literally unstoppable. He was so good.
So good at just every little thing.
Like, remember when he decided that like he wasn't going to rely on a 3-point shot and he just was so incredibly efficient that the one year he won the MVP, and I think it was either his first or second. It's either when they beat Oklahoma City or when they beat San Antonio, but I just remember him like, he's literally unstoppable. Like I thought like, okay, maybe I was being a bit of a hater, but he was so, so good. And then we got a taste of it in Cleveland for a little bit, and maybe it plateaued in his last year and like started to decline, but boy, he was so good in Miami, and what could have been?
I mean, maybe that roster construction was going to be bad, but watching these highlights now, Evan, as we wrap up the second segment, I also want to we're going to do a rewatch of like a 90s Cavs game. I want to do a rewatch of like a 2010 playoffs game or something like that.
Oh, that'd be a lot of fun, I think. We'd have to pick like an annihilation game just so I can really get up for it, because some of those games, like, just a lot of fun. I miss those days. I miss the Cavs in general. I can't believe I'm saying it.
Yeah, I just watched him like pick the pocket of Deshaun Stevenson, Delonte, and he's got my favorite Cavs jersey of all time on, and it's the wine with the gold Cavs with the netting. It's everything I want in a Cavs jersey.
Yeah. Well, before we wrap this up, do you think those are the best jerseys in Cavaliers history, or are you partial to the 90s ones with the ones the Cavs wore as throwbacks this year?
I love the 90s ones, but I just can't say that they're the best one because I don't think they're actually like that. They don't look that great. Like I just like them for whatever reason.
They're weird.
I think that's just weird, and there's something like kind of vintage about them. But I quite prefer. I love every version of the jersey where it's Cavs with the netting and the C and the V.
Really, I would go with the first LeBron. I think those are like the cleanest, best look the Cavs have ever had.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't think I've ever heard anyone have that take.
Really? That's interesting. I don't know. I mean, I do like the aesthetic that, well, let's just be frank, I think the Nike rebrand was absolutely awful for Cleveland.
They have not had good jerseys. Like, I would, like, the stupid, like, the orange and blue one they had last year is just one of the ugliest jerseys I've ever seen.
Flip the script, though. That powder blue and white one that they had based on that one was
the ice ones, those are dope. But those, like, almost shouldn't have worked.
No, that's the thing, and that's what's frustrating about it. But, like, their wine Nike jerseys are trash. I hate the black jerseys because of the stupid tire treads and like just how clunky and awkward they look. And
yeah,
I'm not going to out my source, but based on what I heard, the Cavs are mothballing those jerseys this year anyway.
100% will confirm that. That's happening.
Yeah, so So the black ones are gone. I mean, the city editions were a Frankenstein mishmash, and like they're fun to look at. But then I start to like pick apart the finer details, and like maybe the transition from the Kyrie era slash the second LeBron stint, like they had, like that was a clean look from Adidas, and people like get on me for saying I'm partial to those, but I really do like from 2003 to 2010, like the Vegas gold, the wine, the navy, like it all just worked. Like the paneling worked, and I like the script Cleveland, like the script Cavaliers, and it's just, it was a good look, and probably that's when I became such like a peak basketball fan. That's probably why I hold them in such high regard in my heart.
Yeah, that's fair. I would go, if I was going to design like the four jerseys, I would want the 90s throwback as an option. And then I would want the wine Cavs with the gold as the as like a primary jersey. I would want the inverse of that where it's like Cavaliers with like a gold jersey maybe, or like you have to figure out how to make that better. And then I would have like a blue and I would have like another blue and orange one in there.
That's a lot of colors, though. And
I don't know. Or do a black jersey. I don't care.
I hate black jerseys. So
they're never going. Here's the thing. They're never going away because they won the title in them.
I know, and that's the thing.
Like, I think we're gonna get like from my understanding, we're gonna get an updated black jersey next year. They're gonna try.
Yeah,
again.
No. They're gonna try black, but like navy's a primary color. I think that's a better color to go with, just because I don't know, but. Do you read UniWatch at all? Like, do you ever go on his blog? Okay, so like his biggest gripe is black for black's sake. Like those, I get it. The Cavs won the title in those jerseys, and you have to like keep that as part of your history. But they served absolutely no purpose when they first came out. And I'm like, I can't wait to get rid of these. And then they won the title. I'm like, well, the soccer look is with the Cavs forever. But then they strayed so far away from that, and it's just what the weird look they have now. I don't know. I could rant about this all day.
Okay, so here's what I think this is leading us to do. We're going to take a break, but what we'll do during this break is we're going to design like a Cavs brand. We're going to rebrand the Cavs.
Oh my God.
We're going to do it. You and I are just going to have a whole episode, and maybe we'll get someone on to do with us, like Zerm or someone. Zerm, if you want to do this and you're listening, come on Lockdown Cavs. Not like I open don't talk to you every day anyway.
You and Greg have an open invite.
Yeah. 100%. Spencer, DM us back, coward. I love you, Spencer. But we will do some kind of Cavs rebrand where we will actually try to market the team in a correct way. And that sounds like, again, I just think they don't do it. That's like one of the things I think they've never quite gotten right is the Cavs jerseys. They're really good in the in arena like selling you on like being there, but they're really really bad at like the actual aesthetic of the team.
I agree. And let's just put it this way: I think you and I can both agree that the LeBron designed city jerseys from the first year we had Nike as like the jersey supplier were the worst costumes the Cavs have ever worn. Don't get me started. There's so much potential you could use with the Guardian statues, and the Cavs rolled that monstrosity out. I'm like,
yeah, the I believe, ones. I think the high point of that jersey was he wearing that jersey when
he hit the game winner against Minnesota, and Isaiah Thomas got traded the next day.
Yeah, that's the high point of that jersey.
Yeah, and then I'm like, that entire season was just a low point and agonizing to watch. But
yeah, those jerseys are garbage. Those jerseys are absolute garbage.
I'm getting annoyed looking at some of the, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I pulled it up and was like, I'd blocked them from my memory and just like forgotten about them. And I'm like looking at them again. And I'm just like, oh my God, who approved these?
LeBron.
Not what you want.
He designed them.
I'm just like, come on. Someone's got to be able to tell him no. Okay. We're going to take a quick break, come back for more Locked On Cavs. We're going to pick our non-LeBron teams. And this should be quite interesting. We'll be right back. All right, we're back here on Locked On Cavs. Evan and I are going to pick our non-Cavs teams all time without LeBron here in our last segment. Evan, you go first.
I'm going to go with Kyrie Irving, Austin Carr, Campy Russell, Kevin Love, and Anderson Varejao.
Ooh, okay.
May not win a title, but there's a lot of spacing, and I'm going to have fun and get weird with it because when LeBron left and Kyrie was a rookie, a bread-and-butter play that they ran under Byron Scott and then Mike Brown for his, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, his reunion tour, but he was still collecting them checks from Dan in the NBA Finals. But that pick and pop between Kyrie and Varejao was a lot of fun, and the spacing potential. And like defensively at his peak during that time, Anderson Varejao was arguably a all-star player until he got hurt, which, you know, you can always just say that with Varejao, but he was averaging 14 and 14 at one point. And like, I think he had that serious injury. Like he had a season ending injury at that point. It just kind of derailed everything. But like Varejao was a lot of fun. If you want to just consider that at his peak, him partnered with Kevin Love would be a lot of fun. And I think Varejao is solid enough defensively to mask some of Kevin Love's deficiencies, but like the spacing potential between those two would be fun.
The passing for those two was just like amazing.
That too. And then the floor stretching ability between Kyrie and Austin Carr would be insane. Like granted, like there's a lot of what ifs because a lot of these four of these five guys have all suffered serious injuries throughout their careers, and like especially in Cleveland, like have missed time because of injury. Can't say a lot about Campy because I'm not like the most read up on Campy Russell's history, but I think it'd just be a fun enough lineup. And then Campy overall, like at his peak in Cleveland, averaged 21 points, 6.8 rebounds, 4.7 assists, 1.3 steals, like a little bit of everything. They weren't either he didn't attempt a three-pointer or they weren't keeping track of three-point percentages back in the late 70s, so can't really attest much to that. And but towards his, like, when he was 30 years old, when he played for the Knicks, he shot 43.9% from three, so there's potential there for this to be like a five-out lineup or even like a four-out with Ant Barajan in the middle or Love in the middle. Like, it'd be a lot of fun. It'd be a lot of funkiness. It'd be a lot of weirdness. I don't think it ever really wins a title just because, you know, peak LeBron really is a deciding factor here. And especially, like you said, if we got LeBron like post-Miami when he finally knows how to put it all together and can bang with dudes down in the post, like that's a difference maker in itself. But I think it'd just be a fun lineup, and actually had a lot of fun kind of just tooling around this one and figuring out what I do and don't want. What are your thoughts on what I have assembled?
I quite like it. Andy is a guy that I think is going to go down. I think already is a little underappreciated for how like good he was for stretches, considering the Cavs were just really, really bad for stretches with him around. You know, I think there's certainly like limitations on what he was, and the injury concerns I think were always going to be kind of real with him. But like the guy was amazing. So when you think about this, what do you imagine a Kyrie Kevin Love duo like looks like as a team? If those two are like your theoretically your best two guys,
at their peak, they could be, especially in the Eastern Conference, and we're assuming Tyronn Lue's coaching them and David Griffin's making the moves in the background to build a solid enough supporting cast that maybe it can mask some of the flaws defensively that those two present, like, and just tinkering at the lineups and rotations. Like, maybe if they're Pete, they're a second-round exit. I don't know. And maybe every now and then they could be sniffing the conference finals, but I don't think they're, like, Josh Smith Atlanta Hawks bad, where they're kind of stuck on that treadmill of mediocrity for a really long time. But I think they'd just be a fun enough team in the modern NBA, but I don't think they'd have enough to win a title. But at least I'm entertained watching it, and I can maybe not walk away completely disappointed every season where the expectations are championship or bust, where instead like I have fun and they try their best and maybe they make it far or maybe they don't, and that's okay.
Yeah, I think that's right. So I'm gonna say that I have two teams, because I did one with Kyrie and I wanted to do one without him because I thought it would just be like an interesting thought experiment for myself to do it. And without picking I think it's a disservice for me that I'm not picking Mark Price for one of these teams, which I'm actually just going to say that I'm going to do for this one. So my actual one that I quite like, cause I've ended up having like three versions of these, is I'm going to spend $5 on Mark Price. I'm going to spend $1 on Delonte West, to take me to six. I'm going to spend $4 on Kevin Love. Okay. And I'm going to spend $3 on Austin Carr and $1 on Anderson Varejao. I think Mark Price and Kevin Love together would be really, really fun. Like really, really fun. Yeah. Because Mark Price is going to be a little more willing to kind of – like one of the things that I think will be really interesting about like a prime Kevin Love and then a prime kind of getting his kind of feel for the league, Kyrie, would be the give and take between those two guys. I don't think you have that issue with Mark Price.
No, Mark Price is just, you know, really, like you said, like, I'm really thinking about what you said now, like in the modern NBA, I think Mark Price would really thrive in will be really, really, really good because of what he brings to the table just in terms of playmaking and stretching the floor. And then, like, he was solid enough defensively at his time. But and then the defensive rules are a lot different back then, too. So who's saying now, like, he could be even better than he was then? But, no, just a duo of him and Kevin Love just in terms of spacing and what they can bring to the table alone, like, that would be a lot of fun. I don't really know where I or feel comfortable mapping or putting a pin on what their peak actually is, but no, I think that'd be a lot of fun altogether. And like you said, the complimentary pieces you put around them, like Delonte and everybody else, it's just
Delonte and Mark Price defensively. Oh my god,
that'd be a lot of fun. And then, like you said, you picked up Varejão Love, and I think you and I are both in agreement that Varejão Love would have been. It sucks Andy got hurt. Like, those injuries took their toll and just kind of sucked whatever. What little athleticism and ability Andy had, like, was almost completely gone by the time LeBron came back. And then, like, it was clear that Tristan was the guy, and then after a while. But if you had peak Varejão and then you had peak Cleveland Kevin Love, like, the two of those together would be so much fun to watch on the inside as well, just in terms of spacing and passing and, I mean, defense from Varejão and everything. Like, yeah, no, that'd be a funky, that'd be a fun lineup. And I think that's an interesting thought experiment. I don't know. Like, I'm having more fun the more I talk about your lineup and just like what the potential you have to play with here.
Two things. Number one, I think Andy not winning a ring in 16 is probably the thing I wish I could change most about the second LeBron era. Not most, but it's up there. Like, if I would obviously not want it to end the way it did and stuff like that. I think it's avoidable. You know, I think a lot of the things that went wrong were avoidable, but him not winning a ring and frankly just like being a part of the reason, like a big part of the reason why the Warriors faltered, is just like a real bummer in Cavs history, unfortunately. Here's my other lineup that I came up with. Mm-hmm. And it was with, okay, I'm not going to spend $5 on Kyrie and I'm not going to spend $5 on Mark Price. So I really wanted to challenge myself on this one. Okay. Paired up Kevin Love and Larry Nance Sr. up front. I was a little concerned about it. But then I realized that Larry Nance has the fourth best block percentage in team history. Here are the leaders in that category. And this is something I'm going to use in a future Jeopardy question when we do that again. So here's the top five. Deshaun Ajab is number one. Elmore Smith. Yeah, 5.8% by a full 1.1%. That's just remarkable. Elmore Leonard, then Z, and then Nance, and then Nate Thurman is five. So that's... I'm going to go with the Nance Love front court. You know, I think Nance can fill in inside and where Kevin can and stuff like that. And defensively, I wonder what that looks like against bigger teams, but I worry about that later. I'm going to pick the Professor Andre Miller to run points on this team for $1. I just think him running pick and pops with Kevin could be really, really deadly. I'm going to pick Ron Harper as kind of my primary wing defender. And I'm going to pick Mr. Cavalier himself, Austin Carr, to kind of be my kind of wing scorer, my three, my guy who can shoot the three, who can dribble a little bit and create a little bit. That's my setup. I think, you know, again, I don't know how good that team is. I think it's a little funky fit wise, but I think one of the things about the Cavs is one of the things that speaks to what they've been, you know, the last 20 years or their whole existence really, and specifically with and without LeBron, it's like it's never just totally clicked in a way it has for other teams when they haven't had a superstar. Like the Cavs have never had a team like we clown them on Cavs Twitter, and I think rightfully so. But like you talk about the Hawks, that was like Damari Carroll, Horford, Millsap, Teague, Korver. Like the Cavs have never put together a team like that just like sort of worked and had a good system mm-hmm. and everything like that. It's all sort of awkward, and you sort of make it work. Love, Nance Sr., Andre Miller, Ron Harper, Austin Carr would be like, there's defensive issues there abound. Not the most athletic team that I certainly could have picked, you know. Like love Kevin, love Andre. Those are like two of the most cerebral, non jump out of the gym players that you could think of. Although Andre Miller was trending on Twitter today because people were sharing his highlights, and I was like very concerned he got the coronavirus.
Oh no, I was too when I saw that, but yeah, thank God it wasn't. That's actually not the case, but
Yeah.
No, I think that'd be a fun lineup for sure. And I think, do you think it'd qualify for the, excuse me, do you think all five of them would qualify for Eastern Conference Player of the Month?
I hope so. That's my goal. Yeah, or they give it to Kevin because he's like averaging the most points by like a decent margin, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I can see that. But
Evan, as we wrap up here, is there any player that you didn't get to put on a team that you wish you would have been able to? Because I have two. I have three, actually.
Well, I flirted with the idea of putting Mo or Booby or even Delonte in the first segment when I was discussing my with LeBron team, the first big segment. Like, those three would be fun. Those are just kind of like key members of my foundation as a Cavs fan as well. And like, those guys would be a lot of fun. And I love Big Z. He's one of my favorite players in Cavs history. And I wish I could make him work. But that $4 price tag that we slapped on him is way too much money to just put on a traditional center that I don't know. All things considered, like, Tristan Thompson is $2 less and does everything Z does, and in my opinion, can even do it better at times, just in terms of health and longevity as well, if you want to throw those in. And then, so if I could find a way to make it work with Z, I'm sure I would. Maybe Brad Doherty as well, because Brad Doherty was obviously really wasn't alive to watch him play. But he was incredible for the Cavs as well, and I'm kind of glad he's back with the franchise and just getting more involved with things. And I don't know if he's going to take over for AC for commentary stuff, but it certainly feels like that. So I don't know. Maybe I could have found a way to make it work with Brad Doherty as well. What about you?
I really would have liked to put Z on a team because I feel like he's just like, would have been fun to just imagine like ways to kind of build around him. It's probably without LeBron is probably the most fun way for me to do that. I really would have liked to put Craig Ehlo on a team because I think Craig Ehlo would have been really good in the modern NBA. And I just like his story is just one I find incredibly fascinating. And I think Hot Rod Williams is another one.
Yeah, I can see all those. I mean, Ehlo is a guy I definitely thought of. Hot Rod Williams is a guy I thought of. I mean, World Be Free is on this list. Terrell Brand is on this list. Like, there's guys that obviously...
World Be Free being $2 is absurd, though. I just want to say that. Whoever made this, who decided to put World Be Free is $2?
$2 is absurd. Yeah,
it's a bargain. He's a fucking bargain. Unbelievable.
He could have gotten us a first round, not us. He could have gotten the Cavs. Go away, Cortana. Couldn't have gotten the Cavs a first round pick this year at the trade deadline, but didn't. But he's definitely worth more than $2, folks. Come on now.
If you were going to build the all LeBron, like play LeBron at the five team, I think that's the other thing I wish I thought about doing. And I think it'd be something like spend $5 on LeBron. You spend $3. You spend $2 on Harper, so that takes you to $7. And then I think it's like, Do you spend money on Elo to take it to that would take you to 11. So okay, I'm gonna do this in my head real quick. James at 5, Harper to 7, Elo to that takes you to 10. So then you could take like you would be under budget, but you could go like Carr and then like Delonte or just like something like that where like Delonte is like your smallest guy, but he certainly can switch. That, you know, like you'd like just roll out like old Richard Jefferson just because, you know, like I think you could do fun stuff in that way.
Yeah, I think that'd be a fun lineup as well. And like, I think as you start to get into the nitty gritty of this, and we added that added caveat of swapping in $1 players for players who weren't listed, like you could get really fun. You could get really weird with some of this stuff too. Cause I was going through the list when we were preparing these Jeopardy questions and like, wait, he played here. Like, I went with some obviously easier ones, and then you and Greg didn't know. Well, you didn't know the OU player that played for the Cavs, so shame, shame, shame. But it's just like you could really just pull a lot of guys if you wanted. If you could make a case for a lot of players, you could just sub in, like Delonte, especially because, like, he's kind of a wild card. Like, Delonte West would work really well in the modern NBA, and you could, if for him at a dollar, like you could plug him in a lot of situations and just like have him as a very nice complimentary piece that Ty Lue keeps in check, because I think you and I are still will always be in agreement that Ty Lue is the best coach in franchise history. So
yeah, 100%. Okay. Well, that's going to be it for today's show. Please share yours to us at Locked On Cavs on Twitter. Email them to us as well if you want us, and we'll shout some of them out in the coming days. We're going to be coming a whole bunch more shows coming up, including some rewatchables and a bunch of other things regarding the Cavs game. Probably should say rewatchables because that's a Ringer property, but we're going to rewatch some Cavs games and go from there. But for myself, for Evan, this has been Locked On Cavs. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back in your earbuds very, very soon. Cheers.